Americans pause on Veterans Day to honor those who have served in the military. In the last several years, there have been many books, movies, and television series about veterans from the so-called Greatest Generation who fought during World War II. However, those projects have not included much about the women who served on the front lines as nurses. Day to Day's Karen Grigsby Bates spoke with some of those women who want history to reflect their sacrifices.
If women are invisible in many of the watershed events in our country's development, it's because, as the old saying goes, it's called history for a reason. Evelyn Monahan, a retired Army psychologist, saw one particularly obvious historical omission: women nurses at the front in World War II.
They weren't in the movies. They weren't in the books. If you look in the books that were done up until the time that people really started taking women's history and putting it down on paper, you'll see that in a World War II book, there might be no reference at all in the back about nurses.
So a dozen years ago, she and colleague Rosemary Nidal Greenlee, a retired Navy nurse, set out to make female vets who had served in combat theaters more visible. Evelyn Monahan tells why.
I thought it was really interesting and really something that the American public needed to know, that these people that you see in the lines at McDonald's or at the lines of grocery stores are really women that may not be as ordinary as you think. A lot of them may have spent time on the front lines during World War II, helping to bring our fathers, our uncles, and our friends home safely.
Monahan and Nidal Greenlee worked with government agencies to produce a celebration of female World War II combat arena veterans. In 1989, 800 flew from around the country to Atlanta to take part in the festivities and to tell the stories that became the basis for a new book, And If I Perish, Frontline U.S. Army Nurses in World War II. There were women like Frances Frenchie Meinerke Plennert, one of five children in her family who served on several different fronts. For her refusal to abandon her patients during a particularly heavy shelling of their medical compound in Italy, Frenchie Meinerke was awarded a Bronze Star for valor. Throughout, she and her brothers kept mum about the danger.
We didn't, tell the other people in the family about. But we swap stories with each other.
In addition to the obvious war, the combat nurses were fighting another battle. Initially, some officers were reluctant to accept them. Medical officers especially worked them relentlessly. Rosemary Nidal Greenlee.
There were situations where the physicians, in fact, would be hard on the supplies, for example, and the nurses would be the ones that would have to keep resupplying, such as towels for surgery and things like that. And there was some, kind of opposition right within the units. But I think as the war went on, the women earned that respect and they were accepted. They ended up with like brother-sister relationships on some of these surgery teams where they really did respect each other and worked well together. But there was a learning curve there.
Wounded soldiers were often astonished to find a woman dressed in Army fatigues ministering to them. The Army, having accepted combat nurses, worked hard to make them invisible. Evelyn Monahan.
As a matter of fact, a lot of times when nurses were going to the different theaters of operation, they'd be told not to be seen on the ship by the guys. And when somebody like a soldier would look up and say, wow, an American woman, they really kind of treasured that.
Frenchie Meinerke and some of her sister nurses found themselves at Dachau a few days after it was liberated. Like a number of American soldiers, she remembers the horror of that concentration camp vividly. Here she describes the crematoriums for prisoners in an oddly domestic way.
Ovens were all along the line. They looked like, washers and dryers, but they were ovens, and that's where they burned them. And then some of the rail cars were still on the side behind the buildings on the rail tracks, and they were stuffed with bodies that they were trying to take to a common grave and didn't have a chance to move them yet. And it's something that I will never forget.
After the war's nightmare, the Army nurses returned home, but not to a hero's welcome. Rosemary Nidal Greenlee says the country's urge to put women back in their place was immediate, and many Army nurses resented it.
They told them to get out of those foxholes and get that mentality behind them, clean up their language, and put on a skirt. And to some of them, that was the greatest affront that they could have received. It was a real slap in the face.
These were women who had been fired upon, who helped amputate limbs and staunch geysers of blood, and they were suddenly being told to just shut up. Frenchie Meinerke Plennert.
I think it's because when we came home from the war, they said that people wouldn't want to listen to our experiences. We were just warned not to talk to people about our experiences, so we never did.
So the women vets stayed mostly silent as the men were celebrated. They married, raised children, and lived quietly. Some tried to cope with flashbacks of their war experiences, a task made doubly hard since veteran services were geared exclusively to men. There were no wards for women. Evelyn Monahan, working as a psychologist in a Veterans Administration hospital, saw a disconnect between the women's reality and conventional wisdom that said women couldn't suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, women were in combat areas on the front line. The only distinction was they didn't have a gun to shoot back. They had bandages and sutures and things like that. And a lot of women, even coming to the VA later, even during Vietnam, were not seen as people that would have PTSD.
Much of the country is just now realizing the sacrifice and heroism these extraordinary women made. Evelyn Monahan says it's about time we listened.
Women of World War II were actually the patriots and the people who have blazed the trail for the women today who are in Iraq, who are in our military, who are all over the place. We are standing on the shoulders of real heroes.
Today, some of those overlooked heroes of the greatest generation are finally getting their due. For Day to Day, I'm Karen Grigsby Bates.